The title of the message today is Christianity Today, and I titled it that because it is important for us to realize that our Christianity in this world is something that we need to pay attention to. It's not something that's just on Sunday mornings when we come and we gather together in the name of our Lord Jesus, but it should be something that is in the world today. And folks, our Christianity makes a difference. Now, we spent a lot of time when we were in Bible study. We just started a study of the book of Genesis, and I spent a lot of time at the beginning, one full session, and we talked about the attributes of God. We looked at what God, who God is, and how God interacts with us, and what He expects of us, and the blessings that He has for us. And then we took a whole nother session, and we looked at Satan and the way that he interacts with us and deceives us, and his goal for us. And we looked in depth at those things as we were beginning to look at the very first words of Scripture, because the very first verse, I spent 3 weeks on the first verse, right? Some people got a little bit frustrated, but we looked at it in depth because that first verse, there's so much implied there, and we had to look deeply. This morning, I want you to see, I'm going to be focusing a lot on Satan and what Satan does for us, because just about every message that I bring is about God's love and His goodness and His call for us. But sometimes we need to look at the enemy, because the truth is, folks, in Christianity today, we are at war. And we are at war with Satan himself and his dominion, and we need to understand that. And the only way we can do that is if we're prepared for it and get ready for it. And so this morning, I want to talk with you about that very serious topic. And I want to start off with 1 Peter chapter 5, just a couple of verses 8 and 9, and I ask you to read it with me, please. Now, throughout the day here, I've got about 10 different verses that I want to tell you about today. You might take some notes about them, or you might take some other notes. And if at the end of the service, if you've got some questions about anything that's been said today, I invite you to bring them to me, because I want to explore them with you if there's any questions in your mind. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Now, this is the first verse that I want to look at today. And you know, folks, that when a nation is at war, that nation, the people of that nation, come together. They look at life differently. They work together in new ways and with new focus on a job that has to get done. We saw it particularly in World War II here in this nation. People came together like never before. Recently, when I was in London, there was a bridge there off in the distance. It was the second bridge away from us where we were right then. And the guide that we had said, that bridge right there is called the Women's Bridge, because it was built in 1942 and 43, and all the men were fighting, and so women were working, and women built that bridge. A cement bridge still in place today. It's a beautiful bridge. We do things, though, that we didn't think we could do. We didn't think we ever would do. When we are at war, we buckle up and we look at things differently and we do differently. And folks, I want to tell you, we are at war. If you're going to be a Christian person in this world, you are at war with the world around you, with the powers of Satan that are in complete influence all around us. And I want you to understand that, because if we don't understand that we're in war, what happens is the war rages on around us and it overcomes us, and we don't understand. We don't ever see it coming. It just is there. And I want you to know that this war is coming. And so we need to be ready for it. Now, This war, of course, is not a physical war fought with guns and ammunition, but it is a spiritual war, and the prizes and the result of this war matters far more than it even did in World War II, because in World War II, we were fighting over land and people groups and things like that, and who was going to control those. In this spiritual war, we're still battling over who's going to control, but the prize is not land and the number of people. The prize is your very soul and your everlasting life. That is what the prize is. And Satan wants it. He wants you not to be able to have it. And he will do anything in his power to take it from you. And that's his plan. And it has been his plan since the very beginning. Now, we see that Satan is from the beginning in the Garden of Eden, right in the book of Genesis at chapter 3. We see that he is there and he is very, very, very real. Even though most of the time when Satan and his demons are after us and attacking us and trying to trip us up, we don't see them. Now, in Genesis, we get to see that he was in the form of a serpent. But look, he's not going to come to you, and every snake that you see crawling along the ground is not Satan. And if one of them speaks to you, you might have a problem. All right, so if one of them speaks to you, go the other way, right, real quick. Even more than if he's just a regular bad snake, right? Okay? You want to go the other way. But the thing of it is, most of the time, we cannot see him coming. I told the children this morning, there's a little voice inside your head that says, you're not good enough. That says, oh, you're a failure. Oh, you're not doing this right. You're not. Everybody's going to laugh at you. They'll point you out. Look, Satan puts all of those kinds of things in our head. And he wants us to dwell on those things. And what happens when we're dwelling on those things and we don't realize there's an enemy trying to trip us up, we then fail to see what's going on around us or to accomplish the thing we're trying to do to start with. He gets us completely distracted, and we lose touch with what's going on. Now, this morning, he said, you need to be aware. First Peter said, you need to be aware, for the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. He's not just a hungry lion. He's roaring. He's shouting the victory shout when he's roaring, because he already figures that he's got you under his control. And that's his desire, is to have you under his control. I want to look at another scripture this morning, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. And that says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now, the heavenly places talked about here, I don't want you to get confused. I don't want you to think that this place that it's talking about is heaven where God rules from. The heavenly places it's talking about here is the spirit realm, and that is a realm that we do not generally have access to. It is a realm that is invisible to us, but it is just as real as you and I can touch this object or interact with anything else. That spirit realm is just as real for life. In fact, it is the ultimate reality, because it is a reality that is hidden from us, and all we get to see is the part that's going on, the physical part. It is the spiritual part that also is very real. And these demonic forces that this scripture is warning us about right here, against this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil that are working against us, these are the things, folks, that are real, and we need to understand that they're real, and they will close in around us in a heartbeat if we give them room to. And if we don't think that they're real, then they even flourish more, because whether we think they're real or not doesn't matter. They're there, and they will attack, and they will deceive us. Now, it says that Satan is like a roaring lion. But our enemy is not one singular being. Our enemy is the whole host of what we call demons that Satan has with him. And it's not just one. I want you to understand that. We don't fight against Satan. In fact, it's very unlikely that Satan himself is going to come and attack any one of us. The truth is, we're just not important enough. And that's the way Satan works. He works at a very earthly logical way. And so if we're not important enough, we don't get his attention. But he'll send his demons, right? And they're just as evil, they're just as vile, and whatever he suggests they do, they're going to do. And so whether it's Satan or his demons, don't think that you're not going to be tempted, that you're not going to be tried to be tripped up or guided away, because it's going to happen. Now, it says, we're going to get to that one in a minute. But we're not talking about something that is an illusion, folks. Because it cannot be seen, one of the things that Satan would tell us, oh, it's not real. You can't see it. Well, folks, there are things that we absolutely cannot see. And I call your attention to 1 Kings, where Elisha told his servant, Elisha said a prayer. He said, God, please open his eyes. His servant looked out the window, and all of a sudden, he saw more than just the enemy's army coming down into the valley to get him. He saw all of God's army standing in their way. And that army never did get to Elisha. There's so many things that we're not able to see, and I praise God for it. Now, in verse 10, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Then he says, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Well, now, we have this armor brought out for us here in this same scripture, and we talk about a breastplate, and we talk about a helmet, and we talk about a shield and a sword. But folks, every one of those things is nothing but the Word of God. And the Word of God is our defense. And the Word of God is our strength. And the Word of God is what we will always need to protect us from the wiles of the devil. But we need to know it and we need to understand it. And then he gives some very important information here. He says, our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness. And the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now, folks, there's a whole kingdom of rulership here that this is talking about. And Satan is its king. Jesus himself said in Matthew, Mark, and Luke's gospel that Satan has a kingdom of his own. He is a king in that kingdom. And folks, I want you to know that he is opposed to everything that God stands for, and every single thing that you and I believe in as Christian people, he is opposed to it. And we need to see it for what it is and ask God to open our eyes to the things that we need to see so that we can understand the difference between what Satan is trying to do and what God would have us to do. That needs to be a fervent prayer for us as Christians. God, open my eyes. Let me see this, please, so that I can know what is right, because I want to follow what is right. Can you pray that prayer? Can you remember that? That's really a prayer that I want to give you today. Just simply, Father, open my eyes because I want to see what is real. I want to see the difference between what Satan would have me do and what you would have me do. Now, I tell you what he's going to do. When you pray that prayer, he's going to answer you, just read. He's going to say, I've given that to you. Right? And this is key. It's key for us to look in his word and to see what he says. Now, I've got some good news for you. You recall that Jesus gave his apostles the authority over evil spirits when he sent them out on commission. So this kingdom that Satan has, Jesus called it in Luke 11:18, has no authority over believers. That's good news. Except the authority that we give him by allowing him place in our life. All right? So, because we have the authority to be able to kick him out, unless we allow him in, and we do allow him in, right? I'm going to go over some of those very strict, very simple ways that we allow him in just a minute. But I'm here to tell you that the enemy is all around us. And their ruler is Satan himself. Now, the Bible calls him a dragon, as well as a murderer, the father of all lies. One of his given names is Beelzebub, and that translates means the god of flies. I think that's a good moniker for him. You see, I don't want to be a fly. I don't want him to be my god, right? And so I want to be aware of his ways and what he's doing. Now, The evil spirits that he commands are said to be unclean, evil, impure, deceiving, lying, and demonic. And I don't want anything to do with them either. Now, I'm going to say again, folks, the tragedy is most of the people who consider themselves Christian don't understand that this war is even going on. They don't understand that there is a war, and they don't believe that Satan or his demons will attack them or wants to attack them or wants to distract them from living a godly life. And the thing of it is, we become so comfortable living in our mediocrity, living in the mediocrity of the social life that we have, that we don't ever strive to break beyond that and to live a life that is God-honoring and kingdom-fulfilling. Amen? That's where we need to be striving to. And when you start to strive to break out of the mediocrity, then you will see that there is something trying to hold you back. There's something trying to keep you in this mediocrity. And that is Satan himself. And all of his web and his design is holding us, is keeping us there. Now, Satan and his demons tempt you, and you succumb to that temptation, and before you know it, you're a captive. That web that he has spun has got you held just as sure as any spider web holds a fly. And you're stuck there, and you don't know how to get out. And after a while, that's just the way it is. You sort of forget what's going on, and you don't realize that you've been defeated over and over and over again because it's just a part of life, and you accept it and move on. One of the greatest tools that Satan has is the ability to stay camouflaged. He is in plain sight in our society today. He rears his ugly head every time people fight against people, speak ugly against each other, make faces and gestures toward each other. That is Satan himself rearing his ugly head and showing himself. And yet he's so camouflaged that we don't see him in it. See, it's easy for him to convince us, if we can't see him, that there is no war. There's nothing going on. Another thing that we need to realize is that and in my notes here, I have every time the Satan, not Satan. Satan is a title, not a name, all right? When the Satan, let me find out where I, is that when the Satan is so brazen that he dared to attack the Lord Jesus Christ personally. And we have that account in Scripture. He led him out, or Jesus went out into the wilderness, and there, after 40 days of not eating, when he was weak, Satan dared to come and attack him personally. Now look, if he will attack the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, do you think he would shy away from attacking either one of us if he felt the need to? Not on your life. He will attack us personally. And let me tell you, he's been alive since the beginning of creation. And he is smarter than we are. And he is nothing that we can stand up against. And so what we have to do is make sure that we don't let him in. Don't let him next to us so that he can't tempt us like that. Now, Jesus defeated Satan. And that's good news for us, because he didn't yield to his temptation. And then he destroyed Satan's primary weapon, which is death. Satan cannot harm us. Satan cannot cause us to die. Okay? He might kill our bodies. He might maim us. And we can look at the book of Job and see all kinds of things that he might have authority over. But he cannot kill us. He cannot end our life if our life is secured in Jesus Christ. Amen? And I want you to understand that. Now, what happens, though, to these demons when Jesus shows up? Do you recall in Scripture? They cry out. They say, oh, please don't kill us. Don't send us into the abyss. Please have mercy on us. They cringe. They flee before our Lord Jesus. And I also want you to realize that neither the devil nor any of his demons have the characteristics that we often give them credit for. They are not omnipresent. They're not like God. not Satan himself is not. Realize that Satan is a created being, no different than the angels. Yes, he was a very special created being, but he's no different than the angels. He is not omnipresent. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, God is omnipresent. Satan is not. None of his demons are. That means he's not everywhere at one time. He is also not omnipotent. They are not all powerful. God is all powerful. Satan is not. They do not have omniscience. That means that they don't know everything. Now, folks, I want to tell you here, this is why the spoken word is so important for us. If you don't speak it and you just think it, Satan cannot know it. Because he is not omniscient. And you need to understand that. And so it's important for us to measure the words that we speak. Because a lot of times, just like in World War II, you had to be very careful of what you said about who's going where and when. Because the ships were vulnerable on the ocean. Well, when we speak things, we need to be aware that somebody's listening. And the only way they're going to know it is if we speak it. And so sometimes the things we speak come back to haunt us from that very reason. And I want you to understand that. We need to get our head around the idea that whether we like it or not, if we're going to be Christians, and folks, that means if we're going to take up our cross and follow Jesus, then we're going to be in this war. If you want to call yourself a Christian, but you want to take up a cross and you don't want to follow Jesus in that way, well, then fine, you stay on the fringes and see where that gets you, because I got some more scripture for you on that in just a little bit. Now, if you're one of those Christians who doesn't think that Satan or his demons attack you or bother you or going to bother you, I've got some news for you too. It's because you're living in a way that is not built uplifting to the kingdom of God. You might call yourself a Christian, but apparently you don't have any relationship with God, because one of the things that Satan hates is for us to actually have a relationship with the Almighty God. And he gives himself to us to have relationship with him. And so when we're in prayer, when we're reading his word, when we are listening for him to speak to us, Satan will do whatever he can do to interfere with that. And he wants to do that. So why would Satan and his demons waste their time on anybody who's not doing those things? They probably won't. And so if you think that you're a Christian and you're not being attacked, I ask you to look closely at your Christian walk. Because if you're walking with the Lord, you're going to be attacked. Now, you can wrap up Satan's primary strategy in one word, and that word is deception. He is a master of deception. And to deceive is to tell someone something that is not true in order to get them to do something that they otherwise would not do but for this information. So he tells us a falsehood in order for us to be persuaded to think that something is right when it's not. And this deception is key. And if you go all the way back to the book of Genesis, you'll see that this was the exact problem with Eve. In the 13th verse of Genesis chapter 3, it says, "Then the Lord said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.'" And how did he deceive her? He misled her. He gave her some false information, and she took it, and she believed it. He said to her, "If you eat this fruit, you'll be like God, and you'll know the difference between good and evil." Well, that was partially true. She knew the difference right immediately between good and evil, but it didn't make her like God in the other ways that were implied. She was only like God in knowing the difference between good and evil. And that was not a blessing for her. See, he deceived her by misleading her. And the devil's been using that same tactic all the way down through the centuries and the millennium. And he still uses it today. And the truth is, every single time you and I are tempted by the devil, Satan is misleading us by telling us something that's not true. Have you ever thought to yourself, or something comes to you, "You really need this," when you really don't? Well, if you had this, you would really be content. But you won't. And those things come to our mind over and over and over again. Satan's tactic is always that of deception, bringing us to believe something that is not true. And so how does Satan deceive? Beginning in Galatians chapter 6 at verse 7, he says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow from your own flesh, you're going to reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit." You can't turn God's word around on him. He's gonna know, and he's not going to allow you to make him look ridiculous. And so if you try to play God, when I say play, I don't mean pretend like you are God. I mean twist his words around on him. He's just not going to allow that. He's not going to allow you to sow for the world and reap the benefits of heaven. That's what this is plainly saying here. So, I don't want you to be deceived into thinking that you can sin against God, disobey God, and not suffer the consequences. Don't be deceived into thinking that you can sow sin and reap righteousness. Don't be deceived into thinking you can disobey God and get away with it. Don't be deceived into thinking that you can sow and be rich because you're going to have a crop failure. And here's the devil's deception. He says, "Oh, go ahead. Don't worry about it. Oh, what is good for you today? What is good for you right now? What do you desire right now? What do you want right now? Don't think about tomorrow. Don't worry about that. It'll take care of itself." And what he's saying is, don't think about the future. Just think about your pleasure right now. Think about what you want right now. What brings you contentment right now? What brings you pleasure right now? Happiness right now? That's what Satan is all about. Not thinking about tomorrow. You see, his deception for us is don't look beyond the temptation. Just look at what you want. Take what you want. Don't look beyond that. And Satan says, there's no consequences. This is just between me and you. Nobody's going to know about this. Right? Look, if anybody ever tries to talk you into something and they tell you, oh, it's just between me and you, you better run the other way. Because it will come back to bite you. God says the consequences of sin are this. We will reap what we sow. And it's a form of deception to think that you can sin against God and go on sinning against God without reaping the consequences. Now, folks, this is deception number one that Satan puts in our lives. Now, the consequences of sin, I want you to know, are different than the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin, the scripture is clear, is death. The consequences of sin, though, are that we are going to reap whatever we sow. Do you sow unkindness? You're going to reap some unkindness. And somebody's going to hurt you. Okay? Do you sow greed? Then you're going to be consumed by greed. Whatever it is that you sow in the world, you're going to get the benefits from the world, and it is usually not good if you're seeking the benefits of the world. The penalty of sin is death, and if it's left unchecked in your life, it erodes your relationship with God, and that causes the true death because you no longer have a relationship with God. Now, if Scripture also tells us that if you desire any particular style of life, that God is eventually going to give you up to that desire. And he's going to let your heart have exactly what it wants. And if that means no relationship with him and you're constantly sowing for the world, then that's exactly what he's going to allow you to do. He won't stop you. Now, deception number two. Let's turn to James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. I just told you that the penalty of sin is death. Don't be deceived, brethren. He says, don't be deceived into thinking you can lust and lust and lust after anything, whether it's sexual or financial or power or prestige or acceptance or whatever it is that you lust after, and it will be okay. Because the lusting is going to lead us into temptation, and that is going to lead us into acts that are sinful. And it's going to happen. If you keep on lusting after whatever, you will not keep it in check, and it will take over your thought process and therefore your life. Let's look at one of the ways that Satan deceives us in this way. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. It says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. What he's saying is, if you think you can run with the worldly crowd, go where they go, do what they do, listen to their filthy language and be a part of their thing, that it's not going to rub off or damage you, then you are mistaken. Charles Stanley puts it this way. He says, do you think that you can take a woman and put her in a dresser up in a wedding dress, a beautiful, white, spotless, untarnished, beautiful veil on her head, and then put her on an elevator and send her down into a coal mine shaft about 200 feet deep and get her to walk along that coal rail for 100 yards and then come back and get on that elevator and bring her back to the top, that she's not going to have coal dust all over her? Do you think she's going to be as pure and white and pretty, and that dress is going to be as clean as it was when she went down there? Not on your life. He didn't say. She didn't pick up a single tool to do any work with. She just went down in there, and when she come back, she wasn't as clean as when she went out. Amen? Folks, we need to be aware of these things. And yes, sometimes it's necessary. God calls us to interact with people that we know are not a good influence on us. And when we do that, we need to be God-led in that and not doing to partly to satisfy our own desires or our own wishes or something like that. We need to make sure that we're not opening ourselves up to temptation. Because when you do and you are hanging around people who are not going to be any good for you, then you are putting yourself in mortal danger. Danger that you don't even realize, and Satan is sitting back laughing and saying, yeah, come on in. I got something for you in here. And he is delighted. Friends, it's going to get you. And that's the way a lot of God's people, while they're living a carnal Christian life, don't go to church anymore. You ask them, they'll tell you, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. They don't go to church anymore. They don't read the Bible anymore. They don't pray anymore unless there's some emergency that comes up in their lives, because they got in with the wrong crowd. And that crowd has influenced them to think that they don't need the fellowship of believers, that they don't need to worry about reading God's Word every day. That's just boring reading. They don't need to pray to God because they're so sufficient all unto themselves. That's exactly what the world tells us at every turn. All of those things. How many parents have told you about children who were good children growing up, and they read the Bible and they went to church and they knew this thing and that thing, but then they got with some friends and now they don't read the Bible anymore and they stumble around and they're not doing anything good, and I'm worried to death about them and I don't know what's going to happen to them. How many parents? They got in with the wrong crowd. So, this is a clear illustration of being deceived. So, deception number one is don't think about tomorrow. Enjoy all you can today. Deception number two is thinking that you can live and enjoy the spoils of this world and have it not affect your walk with God. Let me tell you, there's a very specific scripture that God gave us about that. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. It says, the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction. And there are many who take it. But the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Folks, are you going to be the one who finds that road and who walks that road? Or are you going to be deceived and led to that wider road where it's nice and broad and easy to walk? If you're taking up your cross on a daily basis, you will not want to walk that wide, easy road, because the cross that you're carrying will lead you on that narrow path. Amen? Well, now, here's another one. Deception number three. Look, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says again, let no one deceive themselves. If you think that you're wise in this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. Look, the only wisdom, I tell you, I grew up thinking that if I could just be wise, oh, I would have everything I wanted. If I could be wise enough to make the right decision, to know what stock was going to go up next and to get in the right profession, all if I just had wisdom, I would be good. Let me tell you, the only wisdom that this world can give you is the wisdom of logic, and logic is an end to itself. It is absolutely limited in what it can tell you, because if it doesn't meet the parameters that are already laid out, it's not logical. There's nothing new that can happen and nothing new. King Solomon lamented about this in the Psalms. In Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. If we're looking to logic and we're looking to the world system of wisdom, that's all there is. But when we give all of that up and we turn to God and submit to Him and actively understand that we're submitting to Him and pray and give our life over to Him, then there's a wisdom that comes over us that is beyond anything that we can get into ourselves. And it does have new stuff all the time, because it's God's wisdom and He leads us. What we're doing when we submit to God is we're opening ourselves up to the Holy Spirit that's working in our lives, and He brings us the blessing of Almighty God. Amen? And part of that blessing is wisdom for living. Wisdom for not for living in this world. Let me tell you, people in this world would laugh at you and say, you done what? Literally, this past week, somebody told me that they had, now I remember who it was. Somebody told me, said, I got this windfall. I sold a big piece of property is what it was. And I gave my church a tithe on it. And my lawyer was mad at me for giving that much money away. He said, are you a fool? And you know what my response was? Well, you should have told the lawyer, yes, I probably am, but I'm not foolish enough to keep paying you. I'm going to find somebody else. If you got that kind of advice for me. Because your knowledge is very limited. And I need somebody that's a lot smarter than that. Paul says, if you think that the world's wisdom is the way to live, that you're deceived. And if you look around, the world's idea is, if you want to get ahead, climb over the other guy in front of you. If you think that that's the way to go, folks, you're deceived. If you want to multiply your income, then you just get all you can get. That's what the world's way. If you are, and you're going to be deceived. We could go right on down the list with thing after thing after thing. So much of what the world does is in antithesis to God. That means it's exactly the opposite of what God would have. So that most of the time, if you will look around and see exactly what the world would have you do, if you'll do the opposite of that, that's most likely the right thing to do. Because I want to tell you, folks, this world is controlled by Satan. The politics of this world are controlled by Satan. The administrations of this world are controlled by Satan. I don't care who is in office. His power is there. And it is that power that causes us right now as a nation to be divided. Are you black or white? Are you Republican or Democrat? Are you conservative or liberal? Well, we got no business being in with each other. Let me tell you, folks, the one thing that trumps every bit of that is God's word and His people. And we're supposed to be together no matter what our individual understanding or ideas are. He calls us to be together. And we're supposed to look over. We're supposed to have patience with. And we're supposed to give understanding to people who don't think like us. As long as we can come together on Scripture, we're supposed to be together. God designed us to be together. And yet the world will tell us that you have to be divided and you can't trust that other person and you're going to want to be with that other person. That's the wisdom of the world. Now, last thing, and you know, this is my heart. I want you to listen to this. This is the ultimate deception. One of Satan's best tools is camouflage, but his greatest tool is causing us not to think we need God. The Satan is the father of all lies, and there are numerous ways to salvation, he would tell us. The Bible states clearly in John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And look, I don't care what Oprah tells you or anybody else, who, whatever kind of celebrity they might be. There's only one way to get to God, and it's through Jesus Christ. And there's no meditation that can get you there. There's no shaman that can lead you there. There's no other thing that can ever lead you to everlasting life but Jesus Christ. And the only way to do that is accept Him as Lord and Savior. Can I get an amen? And folks, we got to understand that, because that's one of the things that Satan has convinced this world of, that there's many ways to get to everlasting life, many ways to heaven, and there's only one. Let's go back to that wide road and the narrow road again that Jesus told us about. And yet, people who are intellectual, they've got all kinds of degrees, and they're rational and they're smart, and yet they're blind to Satan's lies. And I don't understand it, and it hurts my heart. Satan lies to them about a need for Christ, and they go into it just full. They don't want to see anything different. They don't want to hear anything different. They've given themselves totally over to the world's ways. They defend Satan's lies. And folks, if we don't identify and stand up against these types of things, then it will continue to take over our society and our world. We've got to stand up. We've got to call it what it is, and we've got to speak. Is it going to cost you a friend? You bet it is. Is it going to cost you family relationships? You bet it is. But that's exactly what Jesus told us was going to happen. It's necessary. If we're going to be Christians, if this church is going to change this world, or even the little society, little part of society that we live in, in this deception, the Satan's going to tell you that you're not as bad as other folks. He'll say, look at yourself. You've never killed anybody. You've never been to prison. You've never done these things. You're not so bad. You're a good guy. Oh, sure. Look, remember, God loves everybody. You're going to get to heaven. Don't worry about it. There's that don't worry about it thing again. Live for today and don't give thought to tomorrow. Well, let me tell you, tomorrow's going to come. And tomorrow, one of those tomorrows that's going to come is going to be Jesus up in the heavens calling us out of this world. Amen? And we have to be ready for that. That means that we have to live life right now for Him and honoring Him. My friends, this theology that tells us that everything's going to be all right and God forgives everybody is a theology that's born right out of the pit. It's the ultimate deception. And it causes us to think, I'm going to go to heaven. I can ignore the sacrificial atoning death that Jesus made for us on the cross. I can ignore the fact that He rose again and ascended into heaven to be at the right hand of God, to pray for me, to speak for me, to judge me, to forgive me. But we need to understand that we are at war. And we need to understand that when you are at war, the enemy will do anything it can to harm you and to get you. And that's exactly what Satan's going to do. Now, we like to love each other. We like to look everybody and everything on the good side and think of it in the best possible terms. And yet, Satan does not do that. And so, you need to understand, folks, that we're at war. And yes, we need to be kind. We need to be loving. We need to be caring, go out of our way to help people and do everything that we can. But we need to be on guard against the devil, and we need to have God's armor in place so that when he attacks us, we can defend ourselves. And that armor, the best part of that armor is his word for us. Be in his word, please. Because I want you to know when Satan attacks. I want you to know when the demons crowd around you and they're tripping you up. I want you to understand it and realize, even if you get tripped up, you know what happened. When we were in Ephesus, we were getting ready to leave, all of a sudden my sister fell right flat on her face. I mean, she didn't catch herself with her arms. Her knees didn't bend, nothing. She just fell right off. I think that her blood sugar got low all of a sudden and she passed out. And so she fell down. When I talked with her later about it, she said, I thought something hit me. I just realized that all of a sudden I'm laying on the ground and my face hurts. Well, her face hurts because she planted on the cement, right? That's exactly what happens to us sometimes. All of a sudden we wake up and realize, how did I get here? What has happened? And we don't know that Satan's been working on us for 6 months. And he's been leading us into this little more, little more, little more. Folks, he is deceptive and the father of all lies. And we will not be able to stand against him but for this word. And we need to be in it and know it. Amen? Amen. Thank you.